I'm Stuart McIntosh with the BBC News. Hello. US and British forces have carried out another wave of strikes against Houthi rebels in Yemen. The Pentagon said 8 Houthi targets were hit, including an underground weapons storage site. It's the second time the US and Britain have taken joint action against the Iranian-backed group, which has been attacking commercial shipping in the Red Sea in response to Israel's war against Hamas. Here's Jonathan Beale.
The hope was that initial set of strikes on the 12th of January would stop them, but they haven't stopped. They've carried on fighting. Now, in between then and now, the US has taken some limited unilateral actions. This looks like it would have been a lot more intelligence used, like the first time, a coordinated attempt to try to degrade at least the Houthis' ability to do this. The trouble is the Houthis show no sign of backing down.
Australia has imposed unprecedented sanctions on a Russian man it accuses of taking part in one of the country's worst breaches of personal data. The government said Alexander Emarkov had hacked nearly 10 million accounts at the healthcare company Medibank in 2022. Australia's Home Affairs Minister, Claire O'Neill, said it was the country's first use of cyber sanction powers, calling such criminals cowards and scumbags. The Republican presidential hopeful Nikki Haley has been making a last pitch to voters in New Hampshire ahead of the primaries there. The former UN ambassador has emerged as the only real challenger to Donald Trump in the Republican race for the White House, although she's still trailing him. Sumi Samaskanda, who's in New Hampshire for the BBC, says the mood is less upbeat than it might be.
There isn't that usual tension or excitement that you would get. And that might be because Donald Trump appears to be very much in control. He had that mammoth victory in Iowa. And if you look at the polls, he appears to have opened up a commanding lead, a double-digit lead over Nikki Haley as well. So that might have taken a bit of the wind out of the sails of this primary here in New Hampshire. But regardless, we're seeing the candidates on the road hoping to convince as many voters as possible before those polls open here in New Hampshire at 6 a.m. on Tuesday.
Heavy fighting has been raging in southern Gaza as the Israeli army continues its assault on the city of Khan Yunis, which it says is the main headquarters of Hamas. Palestinian sources say Israeli troops have stormed one hospital in the area and put another under siege. The US National Security spokesman John Kirby said Israel should take special care when fighting near these facilities.
They have a right to defend themselves. They have a right to go after these leaders. They have a right to take away the ability for Hamas to store and resource themselves, even if that is in hospitals. But again, I would say the same thing that we've said before on this issue. We expect them to do so in accordance with international law and to protect innocent people in hospitals.
You're listening to the latest world news coming to you from the BBC. The US Supreme Court has granted federal Border Patrol agents temporary permission to remove razor wire fencing installed by the state of Texas along part of its border with Mexico. The fencing was ordered by the Republican governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, to help keep out illegal migrants. Researchers are warning that the loss of scientific data from Russia's Arctic monitoring stations following the invasion of Ukraine is having consequences for correctly predicting climate change. The Arctic is warming up to 4 times faster than the rest of the planet and holds glaciers, forests and carbon-rich frozen soils. Changes to these would reverberate across the world. The Canadian filmmaker Norman Jewison, considered one of the most important directors of the late 20th century, has died aged 97. His movies won multiple Academy Awards, and Jewison received a Lifetime Achievement Oscar in 1999. He was widely admired for his ability to craft powerful films in many different genres. One of Italy's football greatest ever player, the striker Gigi Riva, has died aged 79. He remains to this day the top scorer for Italy's men's team. Here's Danny Eberhard.
A true national monument was how the head of Italy's Football Federation described Gigi Riva on his death. His goals helped his lifelong club side, Cagliari in Sardinia, rise from relative obscurity. With him, in 1970, they won their only ever national title. By then, he was already an international star. He was a standout player in Italy's passage to the World Cup final against Brazil that year. They lost, but Riva had tasted triumph with the squad 2 years before in Rome. He scored one of the 2 goals in a replayed final against Yugoslavia that saw Italy crowned European champions for the first time. His federation said he'd worn the blue shirt like a second skin.
BBC News.